heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation.com, a forever member of the Jittery Monkey Podcast family, and of course, part of the SB Nation Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, joined, we've got a full deck, not a full house, a full deck. We've got, everybody, let me back it off a little bit. Not everybody from Coronation is here tonight. Everybody else is in the Slack chat room. But we have, of course, me. We have the other two legs of the tripod, Hoss Reuter, John Dam Johnston. Guys, I hope you're doing well.
Doing great. How's life down in Southern Illinois?
Wet. It won't stop raining, and it makes my job difficult.
So is it like a good morning Vietnam with the weather reports? How is it out there? Hot, wet, and shitty.
Possibly. But let me put it this way. So a place
you've
where
never
I,
seen that?
I have, but I don't remember that part necessarily. I'm sorry. I feel bad that I don't and you do, especially since I'm 10 years older than you. No, the part that I was at today was they're pretty much saying, yeah, we're all packing up because we're going to be flooded by Sunday. So,
oh, shit.
It's awesome. Driving, you know, with water over the roads. Fantastic.
Driving water over the roads with water over the road.
Exactly. That's well placed, sir. Well said. So that's been my week from hell in a nutshell. Accidental rhyme there. John, how are we holding up in the Great White North?
It's beautiful. Everything's wonderful. Life is good.
Okay. I don't believe you, but okay. I mean, not to say that you're wrong. It's just that's a little less cynical than we usually hear from you, John.
I'm trying to teach myself to be a motivational speaker.
How's that working for you?
Oh, man.
So well, I don't know.
Are you going to be like Tony Robbins or Les Brown?
Why not more Brown?
Wait a minute. What? I was confused by that statement.
You know, wasn't Tony Robbins a motivational speaker?
Yes.
Yes.
And Les Brown?
Oh, I thought you meant Tony Robbins is Les Brown. I thought he's already pretty white. How can he get into Les Brown? My God, what the hell's going on?
Wow.
Oh, things are going to get weird.
Yeah, I was 10 years older than you, and I don't remember that. That's when you start forgetting everything, 10 years older than everybody.
Well, let's bring in our special guests this week, and you'll be able to hear them on their new Coronation Podcast next week. Patrick Earhart and Nate McHugh. Guys, welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast.
It's great to be back.
Thanks for letting us come on.
Hey, we are here to get the ball rolling. I really want to share the name of your podcast, but since you are withholding that information from me, I guess you're going to have to give it to us now.
You know, we got a great name. It was a collaborative effort, but when it came down to it, Nate was the one who came up with the genius behind it. Nate, why don't you announce it?
Well, our new podcast is going to be called "Of Bangerangs and Daggers," a Nebraska basketball podcast.
Bangerangs and Daggers?
Yeah, it was probably the 100th one I sent Patrick that we finally thought was decent. So, of Bangerangs and Daggers.
Yeah, he sent a bunch. I sent a few. He sent banger daggers. I threw up one of it. That was my only contribution.
Were any of the previous ones Nate Dogg and Patrick G?
No, and now I'm kind of glad we. Wow, we have two different views on that one. Okay.
What about a sad history of lost causes?
Here's the thing. Okay, here's our podcast, all right? Here's our podcast. Our goal is to educate the masses on Nebraska ball. We are going to take the good word of Kent Pavelka and show the Philistines
that's me
out there about our Lord and Savior, Fred Hoiberg. We're going to be on once a week from here on out. You should be able to pick it up on every Tuesday, either morning, afternoon, or night, depending on when I get done. Greg, you understand?
Yes, I'm very aware.
But we'll be starting out probably half hour, 45 minutes, and once it gets into regular season, we'll be up to at least a full hour. I'm sure Kate and I will be more than happy to chat everybody's ears off once things get going. But we have a lot to talk about right now, and I imagine these first few weeks will be actually quite full, considering we've got a lot of transfers out, a lot of transfers in, entirely new offense to kind of break down. And, yeah, we haven't even hit summer yet. Nate, what do you think?
Well, I'm actually hoping that our first episode is the worst and that we get better from there. So
it is my podcasting experience that is not the case.
That is not the case. Well,
maybe that's just me.
Sometimes you just poop.
I thought you were supposed to be a motivational speaker.
No, that's part of the motivational thing. Sometimes you got to get up here in the morning and look in the mirror and say,
let's get the shit out.
This is going to be a better day than yesterday, because yesterday I smashed my head into a cabinet and my head hurt all day, and it was a day of poop. Today I am not going to smash my head into a cabinet.
Because I'm good enough, smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me.
I applaud that one, Patrick. Well done.
We might have a little bit of a holy war on our hands between these two podcasts. You know, we recognize the one true Lord and Savior, Scott Frost. So,
you guys have already referred yourselves as a tripod. I could go on the jokes on that alone for podcasts down the road.
John's
the one in the middle that's just slapping against each leg.
Point of parliamentary procedure. For the record, I do claim only one Lord and Savior, and he didn't play ball.
But, you know, okay. Jesus would have been one hell of a linebacker.
No, I disagree. Based on the stature of you know, human beings, you know, men of 2,000 years ago, I think probably more like an outside linebacker.
So rangy, get after, rush the passer, you know. So, like, when he cast the demons out of the pigs, Legion, it was like a outside linebacker getting after a quarterback.
Yeah.
Rushing them all the way up to the cliff. Okay, I like it.
Yeah, we're going to go with that.
Another news?
Tell me that Kent Pavelka is going to be a guest sometime in the summer.
We're working on it. I think the options, the possibilities are good. I've sent a couple emails out. And hopefully we get not just some interviews, but also probably a little bit more from them. Hopefully.
Well, speaking of interviews, and this is just off on a tangent that I did not anticipate, John, will you tell us about your conversation with a certain young lady that took place this week?
Slid in some DMs.
Oh, yeah. I talked to Miss Nebraska. She's actually competing for Miss USA right now, actually.
Do you think she's winning?
Wow. What?
I mean, she's out, right?
I don't know.
I think she didn't make the top five.
Well, we had a Miss Nebraska become Miss USA last year, so it's kind of like they're probably realistically going to go, okay, you had your moment, Nebraska, just piss off. You know, wouldn't have mattered how impressive she was. And she was a very impressive person to talk to. I mean, it was, I'll be honest with you, I expected somebody to just like, I didn't expect a dingbat. It's very clear that this woman is not a dingbat by any means, and she's very put together, very articulate, or see better than me. God,
were you tickling it, John?
Hey, Nate.
Very well spoken.
Yeah.
Hey, Nate. The bar is set low for us, bud.
Yes,
I'm feeling better and better.
It does not take much for you guys to be better than us.
Wow.
Greg's the skipper. Greg is like if Bill Belichick suddenly started coaching at UNK.
No, Greg is the high priest of Coronation Podcasting.
Ooh.
Everything goes through him.
Ooh.
No matter. Respect for Greg.
Oh, thank you. Huh? I'm I need to talk with you guys more often. You guys are great for my self-esteem.
Greg, you try your damnedest to do great. It's me and John that derail your best efforts.
I cannot disagree, honestly.
No, you can't. You can't.
I've been trying to keep this show on the rails for a year and a half, and it just diverts all the time. So,
yeah, blue chews.
and yet the listeners keep expanding.
I haven't looked at the numbers. I'll take your word for it.
Oh, I was just going on baselines.
John, did you do any dunk smashing this past week?
Oh my God, that was so old news. We're moving on.
Did you text any emojis?
I talked to Miss Nebraska.
Yeah, what have you done with your life?
Yeah. You know what? You know what? I have no retort to that right now.
Yes, exactly.
That's John. Tip of the cap. That's John just throwing down his third leg of the tripod like smack.
Setting it up on the bar top.
Oh my God, we are horrible people.
So, Nebraska ball. Fred Hoiberg is a name that has been tossed around a little bit. I guess he might be a candidate for the head coaching job. Tell me a little bit about him.
He might be a candidate. Yeah, I haven't heard much outside of that. Have you, Nate?
Well, he was my number one pick before Tim Miles even got fired. So, and now he might have sent his son to high school or enrolled him into high school in Lincoln. So maybe there's some smoke behind that, you know.
Hopefully.
So, well, you know hopefully. What they say.
But, you know, if he does come here, I think the fans will see a much a drastic difference in style of play. Unlike the previous head coach, Tim Miles, bless his heart. Hoiberg brings bless a lot heart. More faster attack. You'll see a lot more full court press. And as you in the press, the actual press, the Omaha World Herald and the Lincoln Journal Star, if you want to call them the press, you'll be seeing a lot three-pointer shot and probably less in defense because Miles did a fairly decent job on defense.
That's why he brought in Doc Sadler.
Exactly. A lot of the guys he's had come in transfer-wise they have the numbers when it comes to offense, but defensively could use an uptick, and I'm guessing that's probably where it is stated. Doc Sadler's going to come in. Doc Sadler, previous head coach in Nebraska, had a little sojourn through Iowa State, a little bit of Kansas, and more recently of Southern Mississippi, is coming back to Nebraska as a defensive coordinator. Or coach, I should say. Sorry, I've been listening to you guys too much. He should be the defensive coach and will most likely probably coach these offensive-minded basketball players up on defense. So technically, in a couple years, Nebraska could be a two-headed beast, not just good on off, also good on defense. Nate, what do you think?
Well, I wonder if he's going to be the defensive coordinator. Some schools do that, even like in high school. They have there are some coaches that pretty much they'll give up their huddle to the defensive coach. You know, if they think they're the offensive mind, then they're gonna get a guy that knows defense. And we'll see. I doubt he's gonna give up the reins to for on the offensive side of the ball, but we'll find out. I haven't watched much Iowa State, I think it's really hard to compare what he did in the NBA for the Chicago Bulls, because the NBA is a completely different game. You have different athletes. The players are more skilled, and I'm very interested to see what happens. He obviously didn't think that Brady Hyman is any good. I mean, supposedly he told him, you know, Ian, we might not need you, even though this past year, you know, Hyman was kind of a contributor, and he's 6'11", and when he leaves the building, I think the next tallest guy is going to be 6'8", the guy that's coming in, the shooter. So we'll see.
I feel like Doc Sadler has been hired for one reason. He's going to be the guy that when we lose a game 103-98, everybody's going to go, fire that son of a bitch Doc Sadler because he doesn't know anything about defense.
I bet he's going to really increase Diet Mountain Dew sales in Lincoln.
Well, that's probably true, but who needs that?
Doc.
Doc Sather brings this family vibe to Nebraska ball. You watch his Twitter account, you know, pictures of, you know, going recruiting with my friends and, you know, with the other coaches, and a picture of Matt, I can't pronounce his last name yet, you know, with his kid in the carrier and saying, you know, dad of the year, you know, it's, he's filling his role.
He also knows the Nebraska system. He knows the athletic department. He left on extremely good terms from what I remember. It's tough when they fired years back, but he, you know, he's a natural fit for an area that he knows. And I think that also heads up, not just helps out Fred, the entire system.
So let's talk a little bit about some of these players and transfers and commits that Hoiberg has gotten. And he was, I mean, I'm less familiar with the structure and the timing and the schedule of basketball recruiting and, you know, signing day. It's not nearly as publicized, at least on my timeline and in my perspective, as the football. So Hoiberg comes in. And, you know, within just a couple of weeks, he starts, you know, making moves and making, you know, getting some, you know, higher quality talent. And to the point where, I don't know if it was a St. John's fan on Twitter or something like that, you know, shared a tweet. And I saw this in the Slack chat room, and a GIF or GIF that was accompanying it was like a money truck or something like that, or basically insinuating that Nebraska was paying, you know, had a bag man
about
in place.
Damn time.
About dadgum time as well.
I mean, it's
pay to play.
I mean, let's think about this though. Back to my original point. Let's kind of talk a little bit about some of these players that Hoiberg has, you know, convinced to come to Lincoln in kind of a short time span. Take it away, boys.
Well, I guess the biggest fish was Cam Mack, junior college transfer. He has 3 years to play three. Number two junior college player in the country. He's going to play point guard for us for the next 3 years probably. I watched some of his film. He looks pretty small to me. But, you know, he was scoring 23, 24 points a game.
He's only 6'2".
Yeah. He's pretty skinny. So I'm interested to see, you know, how he plays against the Big Ten, because those guys aren't small. But he's a playmaker. He passes really well, and he can score it. You know, he seems to get by the first defender really well. And then the help side comes, and then he throws a lot of the alley-oops, you know, to the big men. Fortunately, right now we don't have any big men, so hopefully Hoiberg can find one or two or three. That'd be nice.
Well, he did just pull in, and I'm going to butcher this one too, from Seattle University. We're going to get a year out of him starting. Well, yeah, he'll play right away. Is Maciej Kavas. Anyway, he's a Slovenian, and he's 6'8". Did well. I mean, he's been doing 10.3 points per game. He shoots. Big thing about him is he shoots. It's almost 40% from the 3-point line. Anybody that's good, let alone a guy who's 6'8". So we should see pretty good output from him. Delano Baton, he's another 6'8" guy. He's a freshman, will be a sophomore next year, and most of his output was done in high school. But from my understanding, he's developed fairly well, and in a system like Nebraska, he should be able to shine. We've got some guys who should contribute.
Yeah, I think Hoiberg said that Delano Banton is actually sitting out this next year. That's their goal. But he played against Wisconsin this past year. I think they might have beat him, and he almost had a triple double against them. So he can play. He looks really raw. I think it'd be good for him to sit out a year, save him for, you know, 2 years later when we hope that we have the roster more filled out. But that 6'8 shooter, Kavas,
I watched a little bit of film with him, and they chase him around like he's J.J. Redick. And if you can't help off of him, I mean, that's exactly what Hoiberg wants. Do you want guys who can get to the hole because there's no help side? And, I mean, that's what he's looking for. 45% three-point shooter. I mean, that's deadly, you know. Then there's Cheatham. He's a transfer. I think he was at Marquette and
briefly at down in Florida.
Yeah, and so and I guess he's a playmaker, left-handed. Can get to the hole. He might be one. Yeah, he might be a one-year guy. And then there's the other JUCO, number 10 JUCO player in the country, Javay Green. He's actually out of Western Nebraska, and he looks like he's going to be fun to watch because he can get up there and he can dunk it. And I'm not sure how great of a shooter he is, but Hoiberg said in his press conference he'll take a average three-point shooter and he'll turn him into a good one because of their development that they do. So, you know, he's pretty confident in that.
I mean, one way or another, even if Tim Miles was still here, we'd most likely be looking at four or five new guys starting on the court this year. The biggest difference would be that now we have some guys who are definitely a step up to talent from last year. And also, at the same time, a little raw just because they're all coming in to a new system. So, you know, we could sit here and kind of salivate saying, you know, we've got all these great players coming in, but, you know, we got a new coach, we got new players. None of them have been around each other. This could still be, you know, a bumpy season coming ahead.
I'm going to put a pin in it right there because I do want to talk about expectations in year one and more likely year two. But we need to take a time out. We need to sell a little bacon, and we'll be right back. What was that, Hoss?
Blue Chew.
That's right. I'm still waiting on Blue Chew to pay me.
I think we should sell bigger items like cars.
You know, I learned what Blue Chew was because of your podcast.
Oh, really?
I learned. Thank God.
Educating the masses.
Yeah, somebody should, like, chewing tobacco, I don't know, but get them as a sponsor or something. Okay, we're taking a break.
Yeah, we're gonna hear those promotional items, and we'll be back with the members of, and I'm going to get it right, it's of Bangarangs and Daggers. I didn't get it right.
Congrats.
Yep.
I did get it. Of Bangarangs and Daggers, Patrick and Nate, and we'll be back with them right after this on the Five Heart Podcast.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast. See, it might be a minute or two for you, but it's 5 seconds for us. That's how time works in podcast world. Greg Mahochko, Hoss Reuter, John Dam Johnston, joined by the newest podcasters from Coronation, Patrick and Nate from Of Bangarangs and Daggers, a Nebraska ball podcast. And we just learned about some of the new talent that Fred Hoiberg has brought into Lincoln. Let's right before we went to the break, because it's, you know, everybody kind of coming together, they all have to coalesce, learn to, you know, get along, play ball together, things like that. Much like Team USA of the Junior Goodwill Games in Mighty Ducks D2, they've got to figure each other out. So year one may be bumpy, but let's talk a little bit about expectations, guys. Is Fred Hoiberg, and I'm putting the cart before the horse, and I apologize, but let's go ahead and ask the million-dollar question. Is Fred Hoiberg the guy who's going to lead Nebraska to their first tournament win?
If he's not, I don't know who will be.
So, oh, God.
See, I think if he doesn't, then we need to get rid of the basketball program because it's not happening.
If Fred can't do it, we literally are cursed.
There's only one man who could, Norman Dale.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, dear God. I'm pretty sure we're probably contractually obligated to have a basketball program in the Big Ten. I've never probably even looked into that, but I'm pretty sure. And plus the fact that the men's basketball program actually makes us money means that maybe one of you guys can coach it if Fred Hoiberg doesn't make it. And I almost said Fred Hobo.
Give me a salary, I'll do it for 1 year.
You're
going
to be the head coach, Patrick. You're going to be the Doc Sadler defensive coordinator.
I'll be the sideline guy that rips his tie off and throws his
suit
jacket into the air.
You're going to be like Dennis Hopper in Hoosiers, John.
We're going to make you sober.
Exactly. Boom.
You're gonna be in the drunk tank when your son is playing the biggest game of his life, John. Way to go.
This all sounds very sad to me, and I'm not letting you do this.
Let's see, that means that we have to get teed up. Now. We have to get teed up so John has to coach.
For a easy rider.
As Norman Dale said in Hoosiers, just ask the ref, hey, you got pigeon shit in your eyes?
Never mind.
I love Hoosiers. I'm sorry.
Yes, he does.
And you're not a basketball guy.
Not even a basketball guy, and I love that movie.
All right, so this is a fair question.
That's why you love it.
This is a fair question.
So basketball guys don't like Hoosiers.
You'd be surprised.
So
no, it's like I like a lot of football movies.
So let's do this then. Haas, is Hoosiers your favorite basketball movie?
What else is there?
It's his only basketball movie.
I'm guessing that Nate and or Patrick would select a different one, maybe especially in the realm of college basketball. Like, obviously, we know that the best basketball movie of all time, I was going to say Blue Chips, but the best basketball movie of all time we all know is Space Jam. So let's just put that one off the board. So, Patrick, Nate, would one of you guys, at least when you guys say the Blue Chips is the best basketball movie?
No way.
It's one of the best.
Oh. Maybe get some real actors in there, but no.
You got Bill Murray.
See, the thing is, I think it's hard to make a good basketball movie for whatever reason. You can't have, you seem
the
to
closest
have, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the closest thing to a good basketball movie was Basketball.
I love that movie.
Fair point.
The only thing better than the movie itself was the soundtrack.
I had a great soundtrack.
It did.
I would watch that movie from those creators more than I would watch South Park, the movie Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. But are you all familiar with a movie they did before Basketball? Called Orgasmo.
Yes. And you are Coronation's Choder Boy.
Fuck you.
Wow. Holy cow. It just went. This went into the pooper real fast right there, didn't it?
Holy. Oh. I can't believe you. I might be the only other person on Coronation who knows about that movie, and you're calling me Choder Boy? I don't think. You know what? All right, everybody, that was our show.
I Googled basketball movies, and I don't remember a single damn one of these.
You don't remember Space Jam?
No.
White Man Can't Jump?
Okay, that one I remember.
He Got Game?
For the Love of Basketball?
For the Love of Basketball?
No.
For the Love of the Game is baseball, never mind.
Blue Chips.
I kind of really do for Blue Chips.
What was the one with DiCaprio in it?
Teen Wolf.
No, that was Michael J. Fox.
How about Finding Forrester? That's a good one.
Okay.
What's Eating Gilbert
Grape? Basketball Diaries. That's the Leonardo one.
That was depressing.
So we've established some basketball movies. And Haas, we know, as the football guy, has selected Hoosiers. So let's ask the basketball guys what the best or at least your favorite football movie is. Let's turn the tables.
Let me put my judgmental hat on.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Go ahead, Patrick.
Oh, I'm going through my head right now.
Okay.
You know, all the right moves, this podcast ends now.
I don't even know what that movie is.
Tom Cruise and Leah Thompson.
I think
one of the best, but it's good.
All the right moves.
It had coach before
Craig
he was
T. Nelson.
Coach.
Yeah.
I'm looking for it. I don't see it.
That's okay. You'll never see it. It's not that good. It's not worth finding.
Well, what was the one with Goldie Hawn?
Oh, God. That is the Texas State Armadillos. What the?
No, that was Kathy Ireland.
Sorry,
unnecessary reference.
My 80s smoke show.
That was early 90s.
Wildcats.
Yes.
You're welcome.
No, that's not even a good one. Honestly, favorite. I remember playing football late 90s, and Varsity Blues came out.
Oh, okay.
And I refused to see it because Vander Beek was in it. And I'm like, this is crap. Refused to see it.
Screw you, Dawson.
And I remember saying that to somebody, and one of our like student managers, like seventh grade student managers, I think I was like a senior, like came up to me, never said a word to me before, and he goes, I actually think you'd like it. And because he said that, I went and watched it.
And?
And it was great.
I got 23 district titles. Count them.
Funny thing was, that next season, I swear half the guys on my football team thought they were Tweeter.
I played it. Football at Gretna in the mid to late 2000s, and there were guys on the team who thought they were Tweeter as well.
Yeah.
Did everybody get charged up to the Foo Fighters, My Hero?
That's another good soundtrack. The entire soundtrack was good.
I mean, that was an MTV Films production, so they should have had that. That was back when MTV gave a crap about music. So.
Another good one. I blank on the name. Early mid 90s. It had James Caan,
the program
coach.
Oh, the program.
Beautiful film.
Seat at the table.
I'm just good at coming up with these titles as you all give me an explanation.
No one said Draft Day.
No, you know what? I'd go with We Are Marshall because I cried my way through that movie.
I thought you were just a big Matthew McConaughey fan.
No, I actually interviewed years ago. I reviewed the book, The Marshall Story, and then I interviewed one of the authors who was involved with making of that movie, and probably the most popular article ever on Coronation is an article about that movie, what was real and what was Hollywood, and it was really hard to take watching that movie after talking to these guys. Because I interviewed him several times, and then I watched the movie, and it's like, God. There you go.
Not a bad. That one's in my collection as well. So
every time We Are Marshall is on TV, our hits go up because people go out and look for that article.
Draft Day is the best football movie of all time.
I watched half of it and haven't gone back.
I mean, it's about the Browns, so, I mean...
Yeah, you as a Steelers fan can be exempt from this.
Thank you. Which is funny that you say that, because me as a Huskers fan, I don't get any exemption for loving Rudy.
No, you don't.
I'm sorry. It's for
but
what...
You know what? You know what? That was on TV the other day, and I sat down and watched it. I kind of am reconsidering my stance on it. I just don't like it because of the Notre Dame crap.
Well, let's put him anywhere else.
I hate Notre Dame, even as a cradle Catholic.
Well, see. And as a cradle Catholic, I have no... I mean, even as a... I have no dog in the fight. I have no skin in that game. I just remember watching Rudy as a kid, and I was, like, sitting on my grandparents' floor, and it was on TV or something, and I'm just sitting there watching it. And, I don't know, for whatever reason, that movie just mesmerized me from a young age, and if it's on, I'll stop and watch it. I do have the DVD. And I'll periodically put it in, and it's not like a lot of movies or TV shows I can pop in and because I know them so well, I can close my eyes and drift off. But man, when Rudy comes on, there's no sleep, because I know that third act when he's getting ready to run out the tunnel and lead them onto the field, I get amped up. Like I'll sit there on the edge of the seat, and I'll be like, Rudy, Rudy.
Who's amped the up? Wild man now?
Exactly.
Do you get amped up like Jon Favreau in the stands?
Yes. I get there, and I'm like Jon Favreau, and I'm like, look, he's so little! Because Rudy was tiny. And Sean Astin was a really good representation of that. So, I absolutely. I'm crazy. I understand it. I accept it. I don't know how we got talking about movies. Do we have any? I have a question for you. Oh, we were talking about basketball expectations. Two questions. Isaiah Roby, is he for sure gone? One. And two, what does year two look like under Fred Hoiberg?
He's not gone for sure, though he's definitely looking at going through the NBA draft. Problem, and Nate, I want you to jump in on this too. Problem with expectations outside of it's going to be bumpy is that we don't know the schedule until probably early September. So it's kind of hard to tell.
You mean with expectations?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be bumpy.
Okay, we're going all the way.
No, come on. Yeah, come on. You're talking about reality. We're talking about expectations here.
Let's do this.
Has been sold as the savior. People don't sit around waiting for anything these days. They don't go, oh, yeah, we're going to give him a year. No, they're not. They're going to go, well, he did the transfer thing at Iowa State, and everybody won, and then he won all the time, and he won NCAA tournament games. And we talk ourselves into this every year. We are going to do the same thing with our basketball team next year by fall.
Hey, John.
Yes?
Give us something to talk about this next week, okay?
Okay.
That's a teaser. Hey, coming up.
It's Fred Hoiberg, Coors Banquet Man.
He's probably a gooseneck. He's spent enough time in Chicago.
Okay. He's going to be working all the time. He doesn't have no time for your beer.
10 miles had time for beer and hairdressers.
Well, see where he is now?
I mean, I feel like that's a little low.
There goes that interview.
I think if those guys, you know what, if those guys ever got upset by something we said on a podcast, they shouldn't be in the positions they're ever in the first place, because I'm sure that they get plenty of things screamed at them courtside that are very inappropriate. No, I've never been courtside. Well, that's not true exactly.
You never shot a game in PBA?
No, I haven't. I've shot at Williams Arena a couple times, 2-3 times, but I need to get down there more.
You do. I can't wait to get to
realistically, I think those are going to be the expectations. I think that, you know, Mark and Hemingford is going to look at the basketball program and the way that our media writes about things. They're going to be convinced that this is going to come together very quickly, I think. Because those guys in the media have to sell newspapers and they have to sell airtime. The one way they do it is by turning Nebraska sports into a religion that everybody can't live without.
It is a religion.
The water boy.
It took you that long to come back to that topic?
You're supposed to argue against me here. That's how talk show stuff works, right?
It took you that long to come up with a movie?
No, I was disconnected for about 5 minutes. So I have no idea what you guys were talking about until now. So I came back and said, hey, the water boy.
You missed a few things. Yeah, your co-host will fill you in on how a potential interview got nuked, courtesy of yours truly.
Basically.
Let's be honest. If we're not getting that interview, it's my fault. It's not John's.
Yeah, it's Patrick's fault.
And we set up a teaser for your debut episode by talking about expectations in the coming years under Fred Hoiberg.
They were digging more than they should have. If we gave them what they wanted, we wouldn't have an episode for next week.
Which may or may not be part of our diabolical plan.
Coordination Civil War.
I feel that if we just show up, we've already had the game.
Hey,
I'm going to say something really rude to Nebraska basketball fans. God. But do you feel like you have to start out with talking about terminology?
What
the fuck is
double
basketball?
Dribble?
This is a bounce pass.
That would probably
what
be
what is the concept of basketball?
Like
because I enjoy watching basketball, but about the only thing I know about it is you put the round ball in the hoopty thing. And you need big guys.
Do basketball coaches sit around with pen and paper drawing up plays like football coaches do?
Yes, they do.
All right. I've always wanted.
Usually they're at like baseline out of bounds or sideline out of bounds. Yeah. Same thing.
I'm kind of like, when I draw up stuff, I always think from the perspective of like fourth and goal from the one or third and three. So, okay.
Yeah, but they draw them up while it's happening.
Well, and then like any of us, hey, Nate here is an actual coach. Nate's a coach.
What was that, Pat?
Nate's an actual coach.
Pride of.
Not a fictional coach, an actual coach.
Well, Elmwood Murdoch?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one, buddy.
I couldn't remember what it was for a second. So.
That's just down the road from you.
A little bit. It's in eastern Nebraska, God's country.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned
Posh has actually been to my place of employment at least twice, I think. So.
I have. A little coordination side hustle, you know, moving parcels and packages, you know, all throughout the highway corridors of eastern Nebraska.
We're all wealthier because of it, so I appreciate it.
Yes, we are. Tickets.
I would like you to explain the difference between a block and a charge.
Okay.
Don't do that.
No, not right now.
Don't fall.
Not right now?
Not on your podcast.
I was going to say, fall into that trap. We don't have that kind of time.
I'd like to say one thing, though. The fact if you're moving is irrelevant.
Mind blown.
So I'm already confused. Clearly, I need a podcast.
So is it just like, is it a subjective call from the ref? It's like, it looked like it's a charge.
It shouldn't be, but of course it is. But you just, you know, you hear people in the stands and there's a block or a charge. Or let's say, they call it charge. And you'll hear, but he was moving. No, that's actually irrelevant. You know, whether he was moving or not is irrelevant. So
it was kind of like pornography for the refs. They know it when they see it.
You know, when I refed, I did some officiating, and it kind of is. But I was not.
That's a charge. That's a block. Okay.
Some of them are a lot easier than others, but it's always more fun to give the charge than to call the block.
Oh, yeah.
That's just kind of an emotional play in basketball.
It's almost like baseball, you know, when they strike them out, that sometimes you get the umps that are kind of like, you know, pumping
the
their
arm
fists.
Pump thing? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, basketball officials, they put their hands behind their head and they pump forward or they punch forward. So
it's their signature move. You know, they work on it in the back. Crickets.
Maybe.
Crickets.
Thought it was going to be John who's going to be complaining about dead air.
All right. So
John's one mortal enemy. He's going to give him a stroke one day.
Haas, just a few minutes ago, you mentioned God's country, eastern Nebraska. And earlier in the week, I sent John Damn Johnston a message and said, hey, do you mind throwing this in our show prep document, which he did not do. luckily, I pulled it up.
John.
And the reasoning behind this is earlier in the week, my wife sent me a text message one day, and she says, what do you think about doing a vacation down at Gulf Shores? Now, me being the moron that I am, I asked, I didn't put two and two together that it's actually Gulf Shores, Alabama, so I'm like, oh, the Gulf Shores. I said, do you mean Florida or Mississippi or Alabama or Louisiana? She's like, no, Alabama, you know, like the place, Gulf Shores.
Alabama.
And I thought about it, I'm like, well, you know, I said I'm not opposed to it. And I didn't tell the sir. She might be upstairs awake listening to this. But I know she's not going to download the show, so if she's hearing it, it's all firsthand like this. But I don't – I would find it a hard time going into SEC country, especially Alabama. You know,
do it and roll in there flying with the full regalia.
Well, but my question to the esteemed panel – my colleagues, all of you, what are your thoughts? I have not – when I was in radio, I would send, you know, resumes and demo CDs coast to coast. But I was very selective. Like, I avoided New England because I hate the Patriots. I hate the Boston Red Sox. I hate pretty much every team up there. I didn't send any to Texas because it's fucking Texas.
Nice state.
You know, and there are other selective areas that I'm like, you know what? I don't even know – I don't want to live in that area and just be inundated, you know, with that sports team, you know, propaganda, for lack of a better term. So my question to you all is, would you have a problem visiting or moving to an area that is populated by your, like, arch nemesis, you know, sports team and their and your rival fans? Like, for example, Haas, you wouldn't ever move to Iowa, I don't think.
Fuck no.
See?
What the hell?
Like, hell no. Like, let me tell you, if I owned hell in Iowa, I'd live in hell and rent out Iowa. Seriously, like, I'd live in Texas, though, and hell, I could probably live in Oklahoma City.
Do you ever think Hostess has all this stuff on a pad of paper written down? No, he's just checking off as he goes, you know? Okay, here's the next one.
I think he's playing catchphrase bingo with himself.
Like, the one I heard was, like a cow pissing on a flat rock. That's why I heard that a couple weeks ago.
It's going back a ways. I'm a little like Doc Sadler. I'm a little folksy.
It's what he does. This is the bar. He ladies, and he flips out his pad, and he gets going through pickup lines.
Yeah, a little spiral top notebook in the breast pocket of a Pearl Snap shirt.
Hey, it works.
Cutter in the hoodie pocket of a cutoff sweatshirt like Bill Belichick, you know.
I would live in any one of these places whenever.
Don't live in Iowa, John.
No, I mean, before I moved to Minnesota.
At John's age, he's just happy to be alive.
I never understood the joy of being a Packers fan. Okay?
Was this before
you can live in Packers? You can live in Wisconsin. You can live in Wisconsin and be a Packers fan and have a lot of fun because they all drink like fish. And every Sunday, my God, it's incredible. But the joy of being a Packers fan living in Minnesota knows no bounds. Because even when the Packers lose to the Vikes twice a season, you still look at them and go, has there ever been, I don't know, a single year in their existence in which they haven't let you, a fan, down? That's a stab. That stabs them right in the heart, and they weep.
Would you say that's a dagger?
Yeah.
See what I did there, boys?
Did you right, move to Minnesota before or after going on the Lewis and Clark expedition?
I think they dropped him off on their way.
Yeah, I did. I was with him, and I just said, screw you guys.
They probably kicked you out of their keel boat. And was like,
the fishing was good. Fishing was good. I love the lakes.
I can't wait, because in a few minutes we're going to.
We went too many times.
I think that's the wrong state.
In a few minutes we're going to debut our segment Use Your Voice, and we actually have a question for John about his travel
really
habits.
Quick, I gotta get out of here.
Well, that's fine, we're gonna kick you off anyway.
Perfect.
Don't forget, we're gonna take
is Nate leaving?
No, I'm here.
Okay, I was gonna read you a recipe I found that might be like a Nebraska recipe.
Oh yeah, bring up recipes things. Nate's thing for a recipe has been a hit.
Okay.
Did you want me to go ahead, Greg, or wait?
No, wait.
Okay.
We'll bring that up in the Use Your Voice, since that technically is a question that you can answer. We're going to take a time out. We're going to send our fantastic colleagues of Daggers and I got it wrong, of Bangarangs and Daggers. We're going to send them on their way. We're going to come back with the tripod and Use Your Voice right after this on the Five Heart Podcast. Welcome back to the Five Heart Podcast and the debut of Use Your Voice. Now, we have a voicemail number. I'm going to give it to you now. It's what I do. I mean, I'm going to give you the phone. Stop it, everybody. Just behave. I can't give it to you now.
You had to tell the ladies in the bars?
I wanted to give it to you. I sent it to John and oh, here we go. 402-327-1830. That, again, is 402-327-1830 to drop a voicemail for next week's show. I joked with Nate that he had a question that we were going to answer. I don't know if you're aware of this, John, but we did have a question on Facebook. It says, it oddly came from the Coronation account, which is, I just tickled by. But it says, hello, long-time listener, first-time caller. I would like to know John's favorite truck stop when he drives from Minnesota to Lincoln and what he likes to do while there. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Nate M. Do you have a favorite watering hole?
Favorite truck stop? But there's dead air, isn't it? I guess I stop when I'm out of gas. I don't really think about it. They're all the same, aren't they?
I mean, not really.
Have you ever been to the world's largest truck stop?
I probably just pissed off all the truck stop owners in America, but you got to stop at a come and go somewhere in Iowa just because, you know, there's that joke. And then
Casey's breakfast pizza.
Blue Chew.
Exactly. You know, I think Casey's has been bashed for a long time. But if you're in a small town in Iowa with no idea how you got there and you wake up and you go, oh, thank God there's a Casey's, and you can go and get their breakfast pizza and know that you're not going to die.
I almost died there laughing.
You okay, Hoss?
Yeah, that was one of the most hilarious things I've ever heard.
By the way,
Casey's pizza won't kill you?
Yeah, wake up in a small town with no idea how you know.
Some of us did stupid things when we were young. And...
some of us are not alone.
And by the way, I'll attest to the Casey's breakfast pizza. It's pretty on point.
Oh, yeah. I brought two of them for my last day of the semester in one of my classes last week. I was the most popular man in class that day.
So that was really our only other question. We did have a series of voicemails I'm going to drop in here. And we'll get your guys' reaction on them.
Greg Hoss and John Damp Johnston. This is your good buddy Matthew McConaughey reminding you every week to listen to the Five Heart Podcast. And you just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N. Greg Hoss and John Damp Johnston, this is Barry Switzer reminding you to listen to the Five Heart Podcast. Win the damn game. This is John F. Kennedy reminding you, ask not what the Five Heart Podcast can do for you, but rather what you can do for the Five Heart Podcast. Go Big Red.
So there you have it. Some celebrity check-ins reminding people to listen to the Five Heart Podcast. You all caught the names there. Matthew McConaughey, Barry Switzer, and back from the dead, President John F. Kennedy. John,
I thought you were going to say back from the dead, Barry Switzer.
No, huh? John. Okay. You were there. I mean, not there isn't there there, but it take me back to the show's going to go dark for a minute. Take me back to what you remember about when you found out that the president had been assassinated.
Well, I would like to point out that a lot of things started in 1962. Well, and one thing ended. I mean, JFK's life on this earth, except that he still hovers around and he talks to us from time to time. Those of us who can see him, he's very upset with the current political situation, all the infighting, I think. And sometimes at night he won't leave me alone. Shut up. But, you know, the Nebraska sellout streak started in 1962. The last time we didn't have a player drafted, when that was like 1962, 1963. And I started on my eighth lifetime in 1962. So I think, you know, all the good things came together right then.
So are we come full circle with JFK contacting us?
Oh, you know, he might. Yeah. I mean, now that we got Fred Hoiberg and Scott Frost, we have two saviors with us. Maybe Bill Moose is the third.
Was Sean Eichhorst the Antichrist?
That's a really strong phrase.
We
haven't even said anything about Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey was in We Are Marshall, and he did a really good job. And by the way, I asked, in that article I mentioned earlier, there's a specific comments about Matthew McConaughey, whatever his name is, and how he played that character. So you can look that up.
In one of the few times that I've been down to Dallas, this was my wife and I, we were down there, and Brian and his wife and their little girl, she was, M was much, much younger at the time, but they actually took us to Dealey Plaza. And
I've
we,
been there as well.
We, you know, it was a weird thing because it was evening. It was just after dinner time, but you can stand on the spot. Like, it's marked with a, like a gold or bronze plate in the road where JFK was shot. Like, that spot is memorialized. And it's like, okay, well, we can stand here. We just can't stand here long because it's in the middle of the road, and we were always told not to play in traffic. But I'll, you know, folks, I'm going to do my best to try not to bring up Brian all the time because I've kind of caught myself doing it a lot. You know, that was a positive memory just because it was the first time that I met Brian. We actually met for dinner. And he gave me so much crap because we went for I want to say we went to a steak place, not a Texas Roadhouse, but a steakhouse in Texas. And we didn't go barbecue. And I got a Lone Star beer. And he gave me so much crap. He's like, "Dude, you're drinking like bad beer." I said, "Oh, but it's Texas." He's like, "Yeah, but that's bad beer." So Brian gave me crap about that. So.
It is pretty shitty beer.
It is, but
even when you think of shitty beers, you go, "My God!"
No,
that's why it never really got out of the state. You know, it's not because people consume it; it's because other states pass laws for like distribution channels of that shit coming out of Texas.
Right? No, but I was
had a Shiner Bock.
I should have. I was trying, but I had Shiner before, so I was. I was trying to, you know, try another local fare. So,
I like it. When in Rome.
Yeah. So that's. I think that's our show, guys. Are you all right wrapping it up at this point?
I'm good with that.
John.
Okay.
Well, what more can you add to this? I mean, you've brought a little bit of everything tonight, John.
I was going to bring one recipe.
Yes. Oh, yes. The recipe. We cannot forget the recipe. We kicked Nate off the show so that he had to listen to the show for the recipe.
Yes. Get another download.
Yeah.
It was Nate. Nate started this thing this offseason for Nebraska-based recipes that he can try, which really, he's asking for trouble because I started a thing on historical markers, and I'm sure that there are probably like old Russian recipes and things like that haven't seen the light of day for years. But while I was researching the Texas Trail, which is a cattle trail back in like the 1880s from Texas to Ogallala, Nebraska, I happened to just wonder what might they have eaten on the trail? And I came up with son of a bitch stew.
AKA chili.
No, it's not chili. Okay.
Okay.
I'll read you the recipe, and I'll give you the ingredients. It's 2 pounds lean beef, half a calf heart, 1/2 pounds of calf liver, 1 set sweetbreads, 1 set brains, 1 set marrow gut, salt, pepper, and Louisiana hot sauce.
I need it.
Kill off a young steer. Cut up the beef, liver, and heart into 1-inch cubes. You're only using 2 pounds of a young steer. I assume this is because you're angry at the people, the son of a bitches that have to eat this. Okay. You're basically putting this in a Dutch oven and you're turning it into stew. You're covering it with meat and water and simmering for 2 to 3 hours. Okay. Take the sweetbreads and brains and cut in small pieces. Add to stew.
All right. So I looked this up. Right now, while you were talking,
yes,
I went to Wikipedia. It's where all good information and accurate information is found. Because I was confused on what this marrow gut is. Do you know what the marrow gut is?
I want to say it's part of the intestine.
It's the tube.
In the spine.
No, that connects the calf's stomachs. I mean,
You
know, because cows have what, 4 stomachs or something like that.
Yes.
Filled with a substance resembling marrow, deemed edible only while the calf is young and still feeding on milk.
Oh, that's a bonus.
And the marrow-like substance included in the stew and is what gave the stew such a delicious flavor. So you're basically eating, like, digested milk.
Oh, well.
So anyway.
I wonder if one of the old Nebraska recipes would be haggis.
There's got to be some I mean, I know that's a Scottish thing, but there's got to be some Scottish ancestry or Scottish, you know, settlers back in the old pioneer days, wouldn't you imagine? They probably got ran out of the East. Yeah. So
I mean, one set brains, they're not wasting anything really here.
No.
It's interesting to look at some of these recipes because, I don't know of anybody... I don't know of anybody that would even consider these things now. I mean, for number one, you can't eat the nervous system of a cow anymore.
Yeah,
because of chronic wasting disease and the fear that brings. But I mean, do you know people that eat liver?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. The thing.
Hannibal Lecter.
The nice Chianti.
Yeah.
The thing is, I guess my parents probably, had to grow up eating, like, liver and onions, but that was definitely not a dish that they passed down to my generation, thank God. They also didn't pass down, like, Brussels sprouts or asparagus, and, those are pretty decent little vegetables for the most part, I hear. Nobody eats liver anymore.
And then, if we actually present this to Nate, he has to make the recipe, right?
I think that's the thing, yeah. Minus the nervous system.
You should start hosting coronation dinners.
I guess he feeds it to us, and then he tells us what it is later.
Yeah. Do you think we could get Ty Peteronitz on reserving room at Blue Blood for us for our meetup? We have, weird dishes.
I don't think they're not going to let anybody else use the kitchen.
Not for this.
Especially when one person ends up dead.
No.
You'd be the only one that survived, John.
Yeah, probably. Because that's what I do.
You cook that long enough, and it probably is just fine. Probably.
Well, it does. It says it basically simmer 2 to 3 hours. And then you're adding stuff, and you're simmering another hour, never boiling. So I imagine the boiling ruins the milk that's in the marrow.
Maybe. Cut. Maybe. The presence of ladies, reports a 1942 Gourmet magazine piece, the dish was commonly called Son of a Gun Stew instead. And that polite name was used in the Gunsmoke episode Long, Long Trail, which was Season 7, Episode 6. It's also called Son of a Gun Stew in the episode called Shotgun Man on the Rifleman series. There you go. A little bit more on Son of a Bitch Stew.
They could kill people, but they couldn't say bitch.
Well, I mean, it was a different time. And really, all you ever saw was the smoke. You didn't see,
Well, buddy. That's true. Somebody grab his chest or something.
So do we have anybody who we know who's named Stu? Because if we knew a Stu, then his name would forevermore be Son of a Bitch Stu.
You know what? If I ever meet a Stu, that's the moniker that I'll give him.
Do. Please do.
Son of a Bitch Stu.
How do you do? Now you're going to die.
Or if I wanted to invoke the movie Tombstone, Son of a Bitch Stew, you're a daisy if you do.
I just like how this episode is ending with a bunch of rhymes. I really do.
Let's see if we can rhyme 2019 Big Ten Champion.
Nope. I'm out.
I'm out too. Let's get out of here, boys.
All right.
Okay.
John, any other words of wisdom?
Trampians.
Okay.
Iowa's a bunch of tramps.
There you go. We beat them Iowa Trampians. There you go. Okay. Let's go.
On that happy note.
What are we doing? Oh, yeah, we're signing off.
Don't rush out of here. It's bad enough I've already kicked two-fifths, 40% of the people on this episode off early. Don't you go anywhere, John. But
okay.
For John Dam Johnston, Hoss Reuter, myself, Greg Mahochko, we do thank you for listening. And if you like what we're doing here on the Five Heart Podcast, zip on over to the podcast app that you use and leave a little five-star rate and review. And the more people who see that, you know, those positive words will know that this is a good place to get their Husker podcast. And just so you know, if you want to subscribe to the new show that we talked about here of Bangarangs and Daggers, I know that Kent Pavelka gives it a lot more emphasis than that, but it's after 10 o'clock and my boy's asleep right above me, so I'm not going to shout it. Mr. Pavelka can handle that for me. Good news is you just keep subscribing to this channel, this show, and it's going to download automatically onto your device. It's all part of the same feed, the same stream. You get two shows now per week, thanks to our friends Patrick Gerhardt and Nate McHugh. For John Johnston, who I've already mentioned, and Hoss Reuter, who I've already mentioned, and myself, Greg Mahochko, who, again, I've already mentioned. Very repetitive tonight. We remind you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red!
Win the damn Big Ten.
Ooh, I like it.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.